Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Industrial Marketer Podcast, your place for the tips, tech, trends, and tools for industrials who care about driving leads to their companies. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Joey Strawn, and I live in this stuff every day. And I am joined, as always, by my counterpart, Nels, the knowledge dwells in Jensen. How are you today, my friends?
Very fine, thank you. I'm doing very well, and looking forward to just the tip of the iceberg on our topic today. It's a big, broad one.
Oh, I know. I mean, social media is one that's a huge topic. One, because a lot of people will be like, well, what in the world? We're talking about industrials and manufacturers and supply chain companies. Like, what in the world could social even offer? So there's a lot there. There's also how people are already using it. There's so much there. I mean, we're talking to people, and if you're listening to this show, more than likely you're either dealing with social media or dealing with people asking you about social media, or quite frankly, trying to figure out if it's even worthwhile for your company, your manufacturer, your B2B to even do or attempt, because it's probably seems like a waste of time. It's just a lot of pictures of people's food, right? So hopefully we're going to dive into all those topics today, answer some questions about it. Nels, I want you and I to dispel some myths. I'm bringing some stats I think people may find exciting or maybe surprising. And then in our segment two, we've got a full-on professional, Molly, someone who does this every day, dealing with social media, talking to clients about it. So she's going to help us dive in and answer some of those really hard questions that we need professionals help on. So how's that sound? You excited?
Yes, I am. Let's get going.
Okay. Well, I love it. So, you know, when we first start thinking about social media for industrials and for manufacturers, it's sort of, you know, where does social fit in? Is it something that should be added on? Is it something that, you know, needs to be naturally built into, you know, the deeper strategy? Should you be presenting social media strategies to the CEO? Like, where does it kind of fit into the market? I mean, Nels, you deal with a lot of content. You live in the world of content. Where do you find the conversations about social media coming in these worlds? I mean, you're even talking to manufacturers on a regular basis.
Yeah, and it's hard to communicate exactly, or at least for me, it's been hard to communicate the precise benefits because potentially they're there. It's, you know, very fragmented audience, the way people consume information. And one of the frustrating things from a content perspective is that almost anything can work and right, many things do. So it's just very important to link whatever you're doing to your goals, to have a strategy in mind, to align it with other things you're doing, right? It's, you know, don't occupy yourself with vanity metrics about how many followers you have if those followers, you're not able to track any meaningful leads, you know, and activities from that group. You know, you can still promote your company. You can still talk about your work culture. You can drive interest in employment. You can talk about product launches and dates. And there's lots of things you can do, but you really need to understand, you know, what is valuable for your company through social media.
Well, and I'm really glad you said a term that I want to go back to, and I'm really happy that you mentioned it. It's called, and you said vanity metrics. And that is something that we talk about a lot because, especially in the world and the realms of social media, that is primarily what people see and hear and talk about. It's, oh, well, Nike has 50 million followers or however many they have. And oh, Grainger has got, you know, 300,000 likes on every post that they make. How can we compete with that doing what we do? And so I'm so glad that you mentioned, you know, just the vanity nature of those metrics, because when you really start digging deeper into the questions and, you know, some of the interviews and conversations Nels, you and I have had with clients, you're digging down, you're like, okay, so in your market, you deal with, you know, nuclear reactors and in that market, how many people in the United States work in the facilities that you guys deal with? And they're like, well, probably there's like 8 facilities in the whole country, and each one of those has a staff of maybe 100. It's like, okay, so we're talking about a universe of 800 potential people, and you're mad that you don't have Granger's following. It really is all relative. And what we're looking for is correct engagement with our audiences.
Sure, so right.
That's where a lot of those opportunities, I think, come back, Nels, to you were saying, well, we can talk about our culture. We can talk about, you know, news and things going on in our industry. It doesn't have to be, we need a sale to come from Instagram or whatever it may be.
Yeah, and that's, and there are so many platforms too. I'm sure at some point we'll be talking about, do you have to be on all of them? You know, it's a very imposing, right. Especially for companies that are already resource challenged. It's like, okay, you know, we've just figured out Instagram. Now do we got to be on TikTok? You know, I mean, it's the landscape changes far faster than most manufacturing and industrial companies would like. Far faster than we would like.
Right. Honestly, as someone who deals with this on a regular basis, I get so angry at how quickly new things become flavorful and fads of the moment, because it's like, listen, I have my qualms with Facebook just like everybody does. And I have my qualms with other networks as well. You know, as when it comes to business and then the industries we live in, I'll be honest. I'll say it right here. I think LinkedIn's always going to be sort of the motherland for social media interactions and business interactions online right now. The other channels have to be looked at on a one-to-one basis. So, you know, we get questions a lot, and I wrote down in our outline, Nels, just because it's come up almost verbatim in meetings we've had, is, listen, guys, are people in my industry really on Facebook? And I get it. I get that. I get that fear, that not sureness of it. The reality is almost everyone in the world is on Facebook if they're using a cellular device or have a family that they want to stay in touch with. So if you're just trying to get in front of eyeballs, probably, but it may not be the best eyeballs to get in front of at the right times. You know, those are where the questions really come into play that Nels, that you asked so well of like, all right, well, what's your voice? Who are you talking to, and how do you want to talk to them? Because that will answer the question of, well, is TikTok even valuable? The answer for us right now, probably not.
No, but let's talk about, you know, the elongated nonlinear buying cycles and how engineers and educating and awareness for engineers is so important to industrial marketing, right? Where do those engineers gather, and how do they share, and where do they engage, and where do they have high engagement levels? You know, it's possible that there's discussion groups, networking groups emerging on Clubhouse.
Yeah.
You know? So I understand the frustration on the part of our clients and manufacturers everywhere, where it's like, okay, part of it is just also being in tune with how do your people interact? How do your people consume information, and how do they share information?
Right.
You know, there could be a dynamite engineering discussion forum on Facebook groups. It could be on Reddit. It could be in Clubhouse. And if your particular group is, or people in your group are leveraging that, that might be something worth thinking about. You know, you don't know if you don't have those conversations, but I think being in tune with your own team and the behaviors on your team is something to consider.
I couldn't agree more. And I'm very happy that you brought that up. Like the idea of knowing those, and to bring in a term we've used in other episodes, Nels, your target personas, those people that you know you're reaching out. So if we know, and you know, a lot of people will give them fun names like Eddie the engineer and things like that. But the reality is knowing that we're talking to engineers, and what do engineers care about? I'll go with your hypothetical, Nels, because we talk to engineers a lot in our world. And so you brought an interesting stat to me the other day saying that, as I've learned, engineers don't use social media in a public facing way, but they're in it in a lot of groups. And that makes a whole lot of sense, because if you think about it, and the studies will show that engineers are, you know, a knowledgeable society that prefers to talk about those types of things with other people they find knowledgeable. So it's not a matter of like talking about cat files or, you know, the necessary steps or functionalities in just a public forum on Facebook, but gathering with other engineers. Then there would be active there. They would be more willing to talk there, and being able to find those areas and then get our brands or our conversation points or our helpful assets and tools to those people and to those groups can lead to people finding, exploring, educating themselves about our companies, our brands, our solutions.
Right. And it's, you know, it's also, sometimes it's networking, but sometimes it's education and awareness. They're, hey, how do we face this issue with this equipment? How do you deal with it? Whatever. I mean, that's not really marketing, but it falls under marketing platforms. And if that's where they engage, then that might be an opportunity to engage with them on that platform because they are on that platform.
Right. And right now we've been focused a lot on lead gen. We, you know, that's what we've been mentioning is like, oh, share an asset or get an engineer. But you know, the reality of it, and when we were planning this episode, Nels, one of the things you brought up that I'd love for you to talk about is, you know, how social can be a great channel for culture and just simple awareness of we're growing a team. We need infrastructure. We want you guys to know about us.
Yeah. And so it can be a combination of cool innovations. Like if you, you know, and you go on some of these giant industrial company Facebook pages and, you know, Boeing, you know, puts lots of interesting videos on there where they show off cool stuff they're doing. And so that, you know, sometimes that's just more innovation. But if you talk about the things you're working on and things that are rolling out, I mean, there's a way to convey that, hey, cool things are happening at our company, or there's a way to convey specific things to your workforce practices too. You know, it's just, it's a real fine line for companies to balance, but you can sort of build a a profile of what your values are at your company.
Right. And using that as a channel to network, to find other professionals, to find training opportunities for your staff, to find networking opportunities or growth, professional growth opportunities for your team. Or, you know, there are, I've seen a lot of conference discounts or training session discounts shared through social media. So it's not just about finding external leads to add money to the books. There's a lot of value that can be had for industrials, specifically around the culture and the internal growth and the value that it could bring there. So, you know, everything, a lot of that is really just up to what can be achieved and what is needed with the correct partner or the correct questions being asked about social media.
And everything you said is easily done on LinkedIn. You know, you brought up LinkedIn earlier. LinkedIn is the business champion, and, you know, manufacturing falls under a lot of the same, maybe not B2B considerations, but very many of them. I think the challenge that many of us have, and I'm really looking forward to our next segment where we can dig into this, is, you know, how about the more, and I'm just going to say public facing, that's not the right term, but the less business specific sites too. You mentioned Instagram. We've been talking about Facebook a little bit. We haven't even gone to Twitter yet, which is a whole different world. But you know, if nothing else, I'm going to assume that if you just have a strong LinkedIn presence, you're winning in social media in the manufacturing space.
I would say if there's one thing to take away from this episode, it would probably be that, in my opinion, is as the Venn diagram of the intersections of success and opportunity and engagement and just universe of activity, LinkedIn probably holds the most opportunity for the most industrials and the most people dealing with these. You know, there are very specific instances where you may be, let's say you're a company selling very specific electrical equipment, then you're trying to reach contractors or home designers, then Pinterest may be something that you would want to explore because there is a very specific need for a very specific planning phase for a very specific audience that can be tracked on that platform. But that is a, you know, that is a, we got to that by asking a lot of questions type of situation. To your point, LinkedIn, people do nothing else. Make sure that your employees, that your leadership, and that your brand is on LinkedIn and active because, well, I actually brought some stats, Nels, that I think might be surprising to everybody, but about social media that sort of exemplify some of these points we've been making.
So, hey, and bonus points for bringing up Pinterest because, you know, Pinterest is creators, right? And right. We're manufacturing is our creatives. I don't even think of Pinterest in my universe, but now that you mentioned it, it's a much more potential authentic link than I would ever have thought. That's a really good point.
Well, and it's very image heavy. So if you have product focused things, it's very planning heavy, you know, people planning parties or, you know, obviously we're talking to industrials here. So people planning new constructions, people planning residential developments, people planning, you know, electrical grids, city planning, like some of that stuff is happening on Pinterest, believe it or not. And if you want your products to be there and they're image based, it's an opportunity. It's something to look into. You know, one of the things that I found that's this is from a year or two ago, but 60% of U.S. social media users think it's easier to get customer service through social media. So, and I would actually probably hearken that the number is higher at this point in time. But the idea is that people will be, if they're looking for answers about your company, if they want to ask you a question, they're going to reach out to you. And if you don't have an easy way to do it on your site, they can find you on social media because social media ranks very highly. If you have an outdated profile, if someone's trying to reach out to you, that you want those to look somewhat professional to give them the experience that you want of your company. So they can find you there. They can reach out to you there. And a lot of people do. So it's my first little stat.
Yeah. And if they're going to do it, then the market is telling you something, right?
Yeah.
It might not be the way you want to do it, but if the way that's, they want to do it. Yep.
Yeah. And it's not a matter of saying you have to focus on this, but it don't ignore it.
No, but if it becomes the persuasive way that people do these things, it's going to spill over into areas like manufacturing eventually,
yep,
right? Certainly not as fast as retail or other traditional B2B, but it will eventually, yep, be the way.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of that, to let's flip it on the other side of the coin. So manufacturers, one of the things that's always going to be necessary for manufacturers is finding people to work there. And so as we've seen in the last handful of years, LinkedIn has a 15 times more content impressions and viewer impressions than online job postings. People are going to LinkedIn to find jobs, to talk about opportunities, to move and bounce between other companies. I'm seeing more commercials online with LinkedIn promoting themselves as a job finding source. So if manufacturers are looking for top talent, if they're looking for top engineers and top product developers and top project managers or facility managers, those people will be on social media and likely LinkedIn looking for those opportunities more than they're going to be on monster.com or Craigslist.
Makes sense. You know, it really has a super high market penetration, yep, for job seekers. Absolutely.
Yeah. And one of the other questions we get asked a lot is like, listen, no one in my industry is doing this. This isn't something that we do. One of the things that we're finding is that there are a lot more usage of social media than we're noticing. Content Marketing Institute a couple of years ago put out a stat that 85% of manufacturing marketers use some version of paid social media promotion. So the idea of, well, no one around me is doing it, so it can't be that useful. There are a lot of manufacturers specifically and more using it and using it regularly.
And actually, we trotted out that a similar stat early in the pandemic. It's on our industrial insights page. I wish I had the article in front of me. I could easily find it. But paid media went up by manufacturing second fastest immediately following the pandemic, only to surprise healthcare.
Right.
because it had to. Trade shows were gone. Personal sales networks were shut down. Mm-hmm. And so manufacturing in the industrial sector bought into this early on. And this is something that's not going to change. People are not going back to the old ways. So that stat is really incredibly important, right? Because it, if nothing else, it has, if I say this correctly, exacerbated the transition to nice. Digital. It's right. Yeah. This is not a one-off. This is not a pandemic related. This is a shift.
Yes. And then my last one, because it's related to that, is, you know, the idea of there's no opportunity. Why would I even do it? Studies have found, and this one was from a marketing company a little while back, a year or so ago, said 69%, almost 70% or more of people in manufacturing, in the manufacturing profession, follow social media channels that are focused around their field. So what it tells us, what it tells me, is that people are looking for information about the fields that they work in. So if your brand can be a source of that news, can be a source of that information, can be a source of guidance and help, then it can be a channel that people follow, that they reference, that they think about. And then when there is a need arises, guess who's top of mind? Guess who's already there? It's not about sending out a promotion on social media and then getting a lead back. It's about being present and making sure that you are in someone's mind when they have a question that only you can answer.
So you're almost, I'm going to maybe a little bit of a stretch, but branding and awareness, if you think about the way advertising was 20 years ago, TV, print, you know, there was a suggestion that, you know, out of sight, out of mind. So you need to be present for your potential prospects.
Right.
So is social media to some extent becoming that favored area for branding and awareness? That's not a really well-worded question, but I think you get my drift.
I do get your drift, and I'll answer it quickly before we go down to the shop floor, and we'll ask Molly this question too. But here's what's happening is that old rule, and there's an old adage in advertising that someone needs to see your message at least 7 times before they remember it. And that was always something that, you know, people who sold billboards would use. It's like, oh, it's not about them seeing the billboard and then doing something. It's we want to be in front of them so many times so that they recognize our name later. And that was such a big selling point. Well, now, not only has the percentage of ads and quote unquote billboards that we drive by on a day-to-day basis, that number has increased. We've also gotten more aware of them, and we filter them out more cognizantly now. And so billboards on search engines, ads on social media, billboards on, you know, commercials and shows and all of that. So now social media has definitely 1,000% become a part of that billboard mix of where people see messages. And so if the old adage of you need to see them 7 times to be remembered, it's probably more like 77 now.
Yeah.
And if everybody's looking at Facebook at the beginning, middle, and end of every day, that's a lot of times you can get in front of somebody's eyeballs. That's all I'm saying. So, Nels, are you ready to head down to the shop floor and introduce our maven, Molly?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's go take our handheld devices to the shop floor. This is the one time when the shop floor metaphor actually...
It does. It works. We're going to head on down there with our handheld devices and use social media.
There you go.
All right, Nels, we've made it down to the shop floor. And I'm so excited because we've been talking about social media for a little bit now. And we have brought in the Maven Molly, to talk about social media with us. Molly deals with this on a day-to-day basis. She is building social media calendars. She is talking to people about tone of voice and when and why they should post. Nels, are you ready for us to start asking Molly some questions?
Yes. And I think Molly has already become a go-to source for us, and she can help explain how these things translate and benefit clients much more clearly than we could, as evidenced by that last segment.
Well, Molly, thank you so much for being here. Do you want to give everybody sort of a quick intro of, you know, who you are and where and what you do?
Yeah, definitely. I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me. And I'm Molly. I'm the inbound marketing specialist. So I deal a lot with email, SEO, keyword research, and then, of course, social media.
Right. Well, one of the questions, and this is, you know, one of the bigger topics that we've been discussing, is just this idea within the industrial sectors that social media isn't really a beneficial channel. And everybody thinks, well, I'm not going to, you know, sell an $80,000 oven on social media. And so one of the questions that I wanted to ask and just kind of start us off here are, what are some ways that you can see social media benefiting industrials and B2Bs that maybe they're not thinking about, or maybe that aren't just lead generation based?
Yeah, definitely. So I think one thing I want to say is that I agree, you're not going to sell an $80,000 oven or whatever on social media. That's not going to happen. But social media is an important part of your digital marketing as a whole. So I think especially when you have industrial marketers that have very long sales cycles, that you have to think about how many times you're reaching your customer. You don't get a sale in the first time that you reach out to them. Normally, you know, you have several touch points, and I think that you have to think about your social media strategy as one of those touch points.
Mm-hmm. And so, Molly, it's funny that you say that. And Nels, I think I called it before we got down here, is that we were talking about, you know, social media as sort of a billboard channel, is to make sure that you're in front of the eyes of the people, not so much like selling them something, but just in the mix, in front of them. So, yes, I'm glad that Molly, I'm glad that you said that. I'm very happy that we were able to connect those two. Now, Nels, I know you had a question.
Yeah. So Molly, another thing that befuddles some of us is how many social media platforms are out there. We talked a little bit about TikTok and Clubhouse and some of these new things in the first segment, but how many of these platforms should a manufacturing or industrial company need to use, want to use?
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely connects back to your goal and specifically your tone on social media, what your branding is. Mm-hmm. All of those things kind of play a factor into what channels you want to be present on. You know, if you have a very professional business tone, you know, TikTok is probably not for you. But, you know, if you're looking to have like a little bit more fun and a little bit more of a conversational approach, then definitely I think that those are still applicable markets. Something that I actually read recently was that B2B is having 20 times more engagement in Instagram stories over LinkedIn, which I was totally shocked by, because obviously you're thinking in an industrial space, LinkedIn is your go-to. Right. And to think of stepping into Instagram stories in that way and engagement in that direction is very interesting.
It's one of the things that's interesting. And I wonder, and this is me spitballing completely. Nels, Molly, feel free to chime in, but it's interesting in the way of the types of personas that we usually deal with, I would say, aren't the early adopters in the technology spaces. And so the fact that Instagram stories are catching on now, when TikTok is like kind of the big hot flashy thing, but with like, and I forget the technical name of where they fall, like early adopters, late adopters, but the late adopters are now in the B2B sections, they're kidding Instagram stories. And that's an interesting thing to think about, of placing your brand, placing your messages in the appropriate channels at the appropriate time, even if they're not the flashy ones.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
All right. Well, so I wanted to go to, I mean, ROI obviously is always a big question. That's something that comes up all the time. I'm not going to ask you, Molly, how do you make ROI out of social media? That would be unfair. That would be mean of me. But when it comes to success, what types of successes can manufacturers or B2Bs define around social media? Like, if it's not, hey, I spent $40 on Facebook ads and made $80 billion. You know, if that's not the success ROI that we're looking for, what can we define as success in social media?
Yeah. So I think that there are a lot of ways to define success in social media. And I think it starts with having clear goals. So if you set a goal around your engagement, maybe you're looking to grow your engagement by X percent, or maybe you grow your following, or those are success metrics that, you know, aren't directly tied to ROI, but it's still growth. So I think when you look at social media, you have to adjust your goals a little bit and put them specifically in that realm.
Right. So it may be more you're looking at questions of how many people came to our website from social media, or how many people, you know, how many new people a week see our things. So it may be defining success in the parameters that make sense for, as you put it, your goals, the bigger goals of, we need awareness, we need a seasonal promotion, we need XYZ, whatever it may be. I like that a lot.
Absolutely. Yeah. I definitely think you just need to set your goals around the parameters of the channel that you're in.
All right, Nels, before we let Molly get back to work, I think there was one more question that you wanted to ask her. And then Molly, we can let you out of here. Thank you so much for being willing to even do this. So.
Yeah, Molly, earlier you mentioned tone, right? And how does the tone match with the various platform? So also why don't you talk a little bit about voice, and how do you align a company's social media voice with the website, right? I mean, you can be very professional, you can be a little fun, but social media is different than your website. How do you align your social media voice with your website?
Definitely. So I think, you know, you have to measure a little bit of the risk that you want to take. So obviously there are companies that take a bigger risk and go the ultra friendly, personable, funny kind of direction. And that's great. And it works for some people, but you know, it doesn't always work for everyone. And so I think you have to definitely step outside of your comfort zone a little bit in social media, because it is more personable and you are trying to create a conversation with your audience, whereas your website is more just presenting information to the audience. So I think brands just need to think a little bit about how their customers want to engage with them and what conversations that they're trying to start, and then move their tone of voice and their persona accordingly.
Yeah. And you really can't be a poser on social media. You get exposed on that really fast, right?
Yeah. I think authenticity is the key in that. I think your audience is definitely going to see if you're trying to go over the edge and be way too personable and kind of weird. They're going to notice.
Right.
Yeah. Like, you can't really hide behind that, but you also can't go full professional in social media. You're just not going to drive engagement. There has to be a little bit of like a cordial feel there.
It's almost the difference between, it's almost the difference between like the brochure that really speaks to your expertise and your specialties, and the way you answer the phone. You're not going to say, you have to use the exact same words used in the brochure when you're talking to someone on the phone for good reason. And it doesn't mean it's not the same company or the same brand or the same brand voice. It's just a different channel, a different way of communication.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
Molly, that's a really, I think, good advice there. Authenticity is the key to social media, if I heard you correctly. And that's going to mean slightly different things on slightly different sites. But you're not going to fit in if you are at either end of the spectrum on this. You know, if you're too serious, if you're too flippant, you know, you basically have to understand not just the tone, but the audience, what's accepted and expected on that particular platform.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I love it. And Molly, as promised, I'll let you go ahead and get back to work. Thank you so much for joining us. We're definitely going to have you back, though, because I want to talk SEO with you. I want to talk email marketing with you. I mean, you're Maven Molly for a reason. So we're going to have you back. You're awesome to work with. And so thank you so much for joining us today. And I hope everybody learned a lot from you.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
Talk to you next time, Molly.
Bye.
All right, everybody. That wraps up another episode of the Industrial Marketer Podcast. Nels, did you have as much fun today as I did?
Yeah, and as we've chatted early on, there's a lot more to dig into here. So look forward to having Molly back, because we could go many, many, and we will go many directions with this.
This is the tip of the iceberg. Yeah, we're going to have a whole episode on LinkedIn. We're going to have a whole episode on Instagram. Honestly, as what Molly was talking about, we may need to have a whole episode on Instagram stories. So it's coming. And guys, we're going to talk about social media a lot. As always, stay with us. Stay subscribed if you're not already subscribed to the Industrial Marketer Podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Google Play or wherever you're listening to podcasts. Please, please, please subscribe. Let us know what you're thinking, how much you like the show. Share it around. Leave us a comment. Follow us on Facebook. You can also go to our website and read all of our articles. There's more episodes there. There are articles about everything having to do with industrial marketing and tips and trends and techs and help for every one of us dealing with these issues and these problems and these questions of driving leads to our businesses. So until next time, I can't wait to talk to you again. I've been Joey. Joined with Nels, and we have been the Industrial Marketer Podcast. See you next time, everybody.